You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Let's take our Bibles tonight. Turn to 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter, we'll let the orchestra come back around. Thank you, orchestra, for being back here and down here, always being in your spot. 1 Peter chapter 1, as you're turning there, Pastor Robinson, we are so delighted you're here, you and your wife. I'm not excited why they're here. They're picking up their daughter, Rebecca, who is really... She's Golden State Baptist College. She is such a good girl. You've raised a wonderful, godly girl. She's going to go, her dad is pastoring in North Carolina. She's moving back there to work for Brother Coburn Hat. You'll be about 5 hours apart, but I'm glad she's coming home by you. And she's a wonderful girl. And anytime, Rebecca, you want to come back home, I'll take you back home. And that'll be great. I'll be a better dad to you than that guy right there. Maybe not. He's a good dad. You're a good man of God. And we thank God for your labor of love. Well, up in the balcony, good to see you tonight down on the lower floor. Pastors, we'll let you come on down, I think, tonight. We're in 1 Peter chapter 1. I spoke on something I battled with this morning personally. That's discipleship, being a follower of Jesus Christ. He gave us three indications. Am I a follower? And I want to be a follower, but my flesh is so weak. Tonight I'm going to bring to you another subject where my flesh is very weak. And you are too. Every single person is weak in this area. And I want to speak about it. 1 Peter chapter 1. I don't think we've stood for a while. Let's stand together, shall we? 1 Peter 1, verse 13, 14, 15, and 16. Let's read these verses together, shall we? Verse 13 through 16. Ready? Begin. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind.
Be sober and hold together for the grace that is due
I'm going to have a word of prayer. I talked to the usher coming by. He said, it sounds like someone's got their nails on a chalkboard. I think we've solved it, right? So I can keep you for about 3 hours now. We're ready to go. All those special music, did you hear that scratching or was it? I am so sorry. All those special music was just great. Well, let's bow for prayer. Father, I have a battle in this area and I believe every Christian does. And I pray that tonight we would recognize the hindrances to holiness. Help us to understand that we are to be holy. Bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. To be holy is to be set apart. It's to be different. It's to be clean. It's to be free from sin. That's not natural for me. I want to sin. I'll prove it to you from the Bible tonight. I want to sin. Sin dwells within me. And I don't find fault with people and their sin. I don't sit around and criticize and we'll deal with it. But it's so easy to sin, isn't it? It's so easy. This morning, I never set an alarm, but I woke up about 4:30. And I said, Lord, let me sleep till about 5 o'clock. And I fell asleep till 5:15. Well, I was giving way to my flesh. And I was tired, so I can justify it. But my flesh wants to feed itself. I want you to see tonight that in the Bible, we have a holy Bible. We have the Holy Spirit. We're to be a holy church. There's a holy city that we're going to. There are holy vessels in the Bible. There are holy servants of God in the Bible. In fact, as we see the Word of God, there's holy offerings and lifting up holy hands. When I pray, God requires that my hands be holy, but I'm not holy. And I want us to see the hindrances for holiness from the Word of God. The first hindrance to holiness, to be set apart, is the Bible. What? The first hindrance to holiness is the Bible. Turn with me to Romans chapter 7, please. Romans 7. In Romans 7, we have the Apostle Paul, who is a great man of God. And in chapter 7, he is talking about the strife with the old nature and the new nature, the old man and the new man. And in chapter number 7, and verse number 15, he says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For that which I do not, but that I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law, it is not good. But it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." The Apostle Paul said, I still have sin. "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will, to press it with me, how that to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would not do, I do. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity, into the law of sin, which is my members. Oh, wretched man that I am." You see, a man came to me at the door this morning after church. A man in his, probably I would guess, 60s. And he said, "Pastor, when will I get to sinless perfection?" I said, "Come back tonight, I'll deal with that." You'll never get sinless. There's the old nature that craves to do wrong. There's the new nature. "Once again, I faced Satan this morning, and I battled him all the day long." There is a natural desire in your flesh to do wrong. There's a natural desire to lie, to steal, to cheat. There's a natural desire to fear. There's a natural desire to have bitterness. That's natural. But we must crucify the flesh. And so the Bible makes it very clear. Look what he says in Philippians. Turn to Philippians with me, please. Philippians chapter number 3. In Philippians chapter 3, Apostle Paul is dealing with this thing of his sin nature. And he said, verse number 11, "If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, neither are already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that which I have apprehended. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it." I have not yet arrived. So man at the door this morning, you're not going to arrive to sinless perfection. You're going to have to battle it all your life. My Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 12. "Lay aside every weight." Lay aside every weight. A weight may not be sin. It just weights us down in our running, our race. "And the" what? "Sin that doth" what? "Beset us." Every person in this room has a sin that does easily beset you. Every person here, it may be the sin of anger. It may be the sin of bitterness or carnality or deceit. It may be the deceit. You cannot tell the truth. You you get convicted, but you lie your way out of things. It may be, many have this, it's the sin of fear. But God has not given us the spirit of fear. But we ourselves, in our natural nature, Brother Miller, we can give ourselves fear. I watch you and your wife and your testimony, Tony and Ruth, and so many of you that are sick and ill. And yes, you're concerned. Yes, you have questions. Yes, the doctors are working with you. But all of you, you're not governing your life out of fear. You cannot, fear not tomorrow. But every person has a sin. Your sin may be lust for money, lust for women, lust for men. And it's going to be with you to the day you die. And you're going to have to fight that sin. Most Christians give up on sin and just give in to sin. But one of the great hindrances to holiness, and God says, Jack, I want you to be holy as I'm holy. I want you to mirror who I am, that I may know him. Philippians 3:10, where you're at. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. What is your sin? I know my sin. I know my sin that does so easily beset me. Do you know your sin? What is the sin that just easily derails you? God's word makes it very clear here that hindrances to holiness is the Bible. And the Bible says, I'm a wretched man. I'm bent on doing wrong. That's my natural man. The second thing, and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So the first is the Bible, what the Bible says. In chapter 15, the Bible says, secondly, hindrance to holiness is friendships. Be not deceived. Evil communications, evil companionship, corrupt good manners. Galatians 5, 7, ye did run well. Who hath hindered you? A lot of people that you call your friends, you should never be friends with them because they'll derail you. I would not be a friend with a disgruntled. I'd be polite, I'd be a gentleman to a disgruntled, but I'm never going to go fellowship with a disgruntled. I'm not going to hang around disgruntled people because I don't have a disgruntled bone in my body. I'm too near my heavenly home to mess up now. I want to love everybody. I want to love those that are hard to love. But I'm telling you, friend, I'm not going to hang around people that are evil and that are wrong and that are wicked in their lifestyle. I'll try to help people. But I have no business. God says evil communications corrupt good. I watch every service. I'm watching as we're singing. I watched this morning. I'm trying to get to all the visitors and all the members. And I'm watching people that are not singing. And instead of getting upset with them, I'm thinking, I wonder what the pressure is in their life today. A lot of times it's just a pressure they're under. A lot of times a financial pressure or a marriage pressure. And I'm burdened for them. I'm not upset with them, but I'm burdened for that situation. And I'm wondering, why are they not singing? And then I watch as folks begin to fellowship with one another, and I'll say to myself, oh boy, that's not a good relationship. That family there, they're good people, but they're not great people. That family comes to church, but they're not great to hang around. Oh, that family's got to be careful. I never tell anybody, but I try to always get to you and shake your hand and howdy with you and visit with you, because I don't want my people hanging around the wrong crowd. The wrong crowd will keep you from holiness. There's a third reason why we do not have holiness, and that's just jotted down, Psalm 66:18. It's, if I regard iniquity. Iniquity is the opposite of holiness. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Brother Whitlow, I have to have my prayers answered. I have to. I have to live in such a way. I led this church into building that front building out front. $3 million about 4 months ago, 5 months ago, maybe six. I promised you by July 13th, it's going to be paid for. I tell you, I got $1.1 million to go. I'm not going to strap you with that debt. And so it's my job to not regard iniquity in my heart. I can't have any sin, nothing between my God and my Savior. I need to be so right with God that God can answer my prayers. I need my prayers answered. I've got so many things I'm going to show you on anniversary Sunday night, the vision that I have for my life and for this church. Amen. It's all out of bounds, but I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I cannot regard iniquity in my heart. I must have my prayers answered. I think when people say, Pastor, will you pray with me about this? I'm praying with a man right now, tonight during this service. I was here singing, praying for him. He's a preacher friend of mine. Son came to our college. He's younger than I am. He's dying tonight. He'll be dead tonight. He'll pass away in Texas tonight. And my heart is so heavy for him, for his wife and family. As a pastor in our state that resigned this morning because of liver cancer, younger than me. And it burns me about that dear man, how his life is just being consumed with this cancer. I pray that I could be the one that God answers my prayer. But if I regard iniquity, God will not hear me. Don't ask me to pray if you know I have iniquity in my heart. I don't want any iniquity in my heart. I want to pillow my head tonight and not have any iniquity in my heart. You deserve that. God's people deserve a pastor that does not carry sin in his life. Our hindrances to sin is against holiness. Hindrances to holiness is the Bible. It shows my sin nature. Secondly, it's our friendship. Thirdly, it's sin. Fourth, turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John in chapter 2. The hindrance to holiness is not only the Bible and our friendships and sin, but it's also the world. Love not, chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world. Let's read verse 15, 16, and 17 together. Ready? Begin. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. This world is a system. It is anti-God. America, we've been singing about it, and the girls tonight sang about it tonight, and our country is a mess. Oh, we're having winds in Iran and winds in Israel and winds here, winds in the stock market, and there's winds. Yes, there's winds, but friend, we still had the Pride Day today worldwide by the millions and millions and millions. People were in Greece and Rio de Janeiro. They were in Argentina. They were in all of Latin American countries. They're throughout the major states, cities of our state, and by millions. Millions in Rome, they were marching by millions today. Every major in Athens, you're marching today. And we believe that homosexual lifestyle is okay. It's not okay. God created male and female, created he them. But the world says, this is what you want. The world says, you don't want capitalism. You don't want Americanism. You want communism. And it's gaining ground in America. To the point that we have a man running on the Democratic ticket in New York City for mayor of largest city in America, 8.8 million people, who is a known communist, Muslim, hater of God, hater of freedom, hater of your family, hater of children, want to mutilate the bodies of children. But they voted him in to run for the ticket for mayor this fall. This world tries to squeeze you, and don't let the world squeeze you in. Because I answer to God for my holiness. Churches squeeze you into the mold. I had a couple over here. They've been visiting the last 4 weeks, a Caucasian couple. This morning they had their niece and nephew in their 50s, maybe early 60s, visiting this morning. And the man said to me, all four Caucasian folks out there, we were talking today, he goes, I'm looking at all these little kids around here. They're all dressed. so nice. And look at me, I said, oh, you look fine. And he did look fine. But he said, it's like going back to the 80s. I said, no, it's going back to Mayberry RFD or Andy Griffith show. He goes, exactly. And she said, I grew up this way in Los Gatos in the Baptist church. It's now all rock and roll. But she goes, this is what I grew up with, a choir. I love the choir this way. I love the orchestra. I loved it all. You can't get squeezed in the mold of this world. Every church is not a fundamental church. There are churches in America that are designed by Satan, or designed by the flesh, or designed by pride. What's the hindrances to holiness? Well, one is our Bible says we're our sin nature. And two tonight is friendships. And three tonight is sin. And four is worldliness. And lastly tonight, money. Go with me to First Timothy, please. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're supposed to be holy, but the Bible says in chapter 6, verse number 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You'll not be holy. It's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with God blessing you with money. But something wrong when money has you. Hold the things of this earth very loose hand. Get rid of it. Get it invested in the Lord's work. Send it ahead to heaven. Lay not up for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal and destroy. But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. My goal for my life this week, I want you to pray for me. I want to be a holy man of God. If this is my last week to live, I want to live every day for God this week. I want to be said of him, he's a holy man of God. And I'm going to ask you to make that commitment. Don't let money determine your holiness. Don't let friends determine your holiness. Don't let the world determine your holiness. Don't let your sin nature that you want to sin determine your holiness. To be holy is to be set apart.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.